You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, broadcasting live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex. It's JP Cakes, EB, and Bish. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our pal John Feinstein for Fridays with Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia. We love Golfdom. Golfdom, live the game.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are doing great.
John, I think someone delivered the quarterback book to us. Yep. I think we just got one copy. I don't know.
No, I got one.
That's what I'm saying. We've got one copy.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I took it.
I think you have it.
I didn't even know they were sending them out yet, to be honest with you.
I got it.
I just got my first copies of the galleys earlier this week.
Now, remind
got
us again.
Got in the hands of my five guys. That's pretty much it.
The quarterbacks that you interviewed were Alex Smith, Doug Williams. I believe Fitzpatrick was one.
Yep. And Andrew Luck, who's coming to town
Andrew
Sunday.
Luck. Ah, yeah.
And right. Doug Williams.
I thought you guys mentioned Doug.
Yeah.
How great is it that Fitzpatrick has such a great week one for you?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, he's an amazing story. I won't bore you guys with it right now, especially since the book's not out for 2 months. But here's a guy who was the 250th pick in the draft, six from the end in 2005. Alex Smith went number one that same year, and is now in his 14th season. And in addition to playing so well Sunday, he went past 27,000 yards passing in his career.
Wow!
And has almost 30,000 yards total because he's a pretty good runner. And everywhere he's gone, people have brought him in as a backup, or he was drafted basically to be a third stringer. He ends up starting, to the point where people in football call it the Fitzpatrick curse. Mm-hmm. Remember Geno Smith got punched out in the locker room a couple of years ago.
That's right.
He ended up starting that whole season, and the Jets went 10-6. And now, of course, Jameis Winston gets suspended for three games, so he's starting the first three games against very good teams. They play the Eagles on Sunday, and he comes up with a win in New Orleans last week. He's a tremendous story and a very good guy.
If Fitzpatrick plays well enough, and you know, let's just say they're 2-1 when Winston can come back.
Yeah.
How do you go back to Winston?
Yeah, that's already come up down in Tampa, that they're not guaranteeing that Winston gets the starting job back when he comes back. Fitzpatrick, last year they were 5-11. They were terrible. Fitzpatrick started three games when Winston was hurt, and they went 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So he's proven that he can win games as a starting quarterback wherever he's gone, really.
And, John, if you're the Tampa Bay brain trust, you can't give Jameis Winston a long-term deal. You can't give that guy like $70 million guaranteed.
Not right now.
In my opinion, I just don't think he's worth that sort of risk.
I agree.
With all the off-the-field incidents that have happened, you know, not only in college but while he's been in the pros, I can't give that guy big guaranteed money going forward.
No, I especially guaranteed money, which is always the key to NFL contracts, as you guys know. And right now he's got to play his way back into the big money and also prove that he can stay out of trouble off the field, which, as you said, he hasn't done since he was at Florida State.
Yeah, I just can't give him big
money.
By
the way, Ryan likes him a lot. He says he's a really good guy to be around, which I'm sure is true. I mean, I watched all the Hard Knocks stuff last year.
I really liked
him. Largely because of Ryan being involved, but he came across very well.
Yeah.
And he's clearly not a dummy. He just keeps doing dumb things.
Right.
Now, do you still keep in touch? Well, obviously, Alex is local, so you probably talked. You went out to lunch with him one day. Do you still keep in touch with the other guys via text or email?
Yeah, I do. It's sporadic, and then, but I mean, like, for example, I texted them all to let them know that I had copies of the book and wanted their addresses to get the book in their hands. And when Luck played well in the first exhibition game, which I know I knew he was nervous about, I sent him a text congratulating him on how well it went. And yeah, so I do keep in sporadic touch with all of them. Sure,
that's good. So I guess you're rooting for Luck this week.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, but remember,
he's facing Alex Smith.
But he's facing Alex Smith.
One of my guys too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So you are.
So, I hope they both throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns, and the Colts win.
Right.
That's what I told Alex when I had lunch with him. I said, "Listen, I hope you throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns every week, and your team loses." And he said, "You don't like Dan Snyder, do you?" I said, "Nobody likes Dan Snyder."
That's funny.
And he said, "Well, I got to tell you, he's been really good to me since I got here." I said, "Alex, you are the most important person in his life right now."
Yeah.
Right. So, of course, he's been good to you.
Right.
How did their personalities differ? Just those two guys you mentioned, Alex Smith and Andrew Luck.
Andrew is more, I don't want to say cerebral because they're both very smart, but I think Andrew is more into things outside of football.
And, a little
and
more
I'm
nerdy,
not
right?
Isn't. Sorry?
A little more nerdy in a nice way. I'm not meaning that
exactly.
in a mean way.
He is more nerdy. I mean, like, he wants to be a high school teacher when he finishes playing football.
Right.
A lot of guys retire to do that.
Right.
Alex is more typical, although, again, he comes from a family of teachers. He was a junior when he went to Utah. He had 9 AP credits. He's already been the graduation speaker at Utah. So their personalities are different. Alex is married, has 3 kids. Andrew's been with his girlfriend since they were freshmen at Stanford. They're not married yet. Although he says they plan to get married. She was an athlete, too, by the way. She was a great gymnast. That's a good description. I think Andrew's a little more nerdy.
They're all kind of unassuming guys. You do just tell a story, because I've gotten through a couple chapters now. I guess when Ryan and Alex play in the Tahoe event.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, to explain it to Jason and the guys, so how they're introduced.
Well, so, and Ryan set this up. They were playing in the same group. They're both good players, you know, 4, 5, 6 handicap types. And they're playing in this celebrity event in Tahoe. And, of course, the starter always, you know, gives these grand introductions of the celebrities. And so he's saying, you know, and then now on the tee, the number one pick in the 2005 NFL draft coming out of Utah, now playing for the Kansas City Chiefs, Alex Smith. So Alex gets up and hits the ball. Now it's Ryan's turning, and the guy says, and now on the tee, the 250th pick in the 2005 NFL draft,
right.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right. So great. And that's what Ryan wanted.
Yeah, no, Ryan asked the starter to do it that way.
Yeah,
and by the way, 3 quarterbacks from that 2005 draft still playing in the NFL. Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt Cassel's still in the league as a backup, so 4.
Right.
And there were 14 quarterbacks drafted. Ryan was the 14th of the 14.
So, John, talking about the Redskins, your favorite team,
yes.
What were your impressions after week one? Does it change your opinion of what this team could be this season?
Not really. When they made the deal for Alex Smith, I told you guys what a good deal I thought it was. That I thought they had upgraded the quarterback position, even though I know a lot of people in town didn't feel that way. And I think they upgraded it not only in the sense that Alex is a very good player, but it brings calm to the locker room. There's not this constant question of who's going to be the quarterback next year. We know who's going to be the quarterback next year. So I thought that was a very good deal that they made. And it was Doug, by the way, who made the recommendation to Snyder and Allen that they go after Alex. I think I told you guys that back when they made the deal. So that's number one. Number two, I don't think the Cardinals are very good. So one of the things about the first week in the NFL is everybody overreacts. You win, you're going to the Super Bowl. You lose, your season's over. I mean, look at the Ravens. I mean, they look like world beaters against a bad team on Sunday, and they go into Cincinnati last night, and it's 21-0 in a heartbeat. So people do overreact to one game, but I think this team is pretty good. I still think the Eagles are the class of the division, and I still think the Cowboys and Giants are major question marks. So I don't think there's any reason to not think this team has a chance, at least a chance, to make the playoffs if as with any NFL team, they stay healthy.
Yeah, there's some big games on the schedule. You mentioned the Giants-Cowboys. That's the Sunday night game. The loser of that game is 0-2, and you know
right.
what the percentages are of 0-2 making the playoffs, about 12%. Pat's Jags replaying the AFC Championship in Jacksonville. Of course, you got the Vikings and the Packers. We don't know if Rodgers is going to play.
I think Rodgers will play, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
you know, coaches and players play this, do this dance all the time. And, you know, ultimately, if they have to shoot him up or something, he'll get out on the field and play. I mean, I'm 90% sure of that.
Yep. And then the Falcons, you know, they play, they host the Panthers in their home opener. And if they lose that game, they're 0-2. So there's a lot of big games on the schedule this week.
Yeah, and especially early in the season, because one thing we know about the NFL is there are five playoff teams from last year that aren't going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it always is. I think last year it was even less, like only three or four teams. I have the number in the book, but it's not in the top of my head, that had made the playoffs. In 2016, made the playoffs again in 2017. So, you know, you look at teams from last year and you say, oh, well, look at the Giants last year. They were 11-5 in 2016, playoff team, and last year 3-13. And they started 0-5. So you never know which teams are going to stumble that you think are going to be pretty good and which teams are going to turn out to be better than they thought. Now, the Eagles were 7-9, right, in 2016.
All right.
And look at what they have. About the only team you can sort of depend on year in and year out are the Patriots.
Patriots, right.
John, real quick, just want to touch on the Nats. They had a chance to win their sixth in a row. So they're hanging in there. But,
Not sure. 8.5 back?
No, but, I mean, they haven't quit. You know, I give them credit.
No, I agree with that. They haven't.
Yeah, they haven't quit. So they're not going anywhere. And it's interesting. We've talked about it a little bit. I mean, the season going out with a whimper, essentially. And Bryce probably going to go out with a whimper. What is sort of your perception on how this is going to play out these last few? You know, Bryce Harper likely plays the last few games, and no one's paying attention.
Very possible. Although if you read the paper, I mean, they're going to be the greatest team in history in 2019. you're right. I mean, obviously, if they could sweep Atlanta, and starting with Scherzer's good, they could at least kind of hang in there until the last week and hope that the Braves have some kind of monumental collapse. The Braves just had a really good road trip. They won 3 out of 4 in Arizona and swept the Giants, so they're back to playing pretty well. The Phillies have totally gone south. But I think that regardless of what happens the next 2 weeks, the question is going to be whether Bryce really wants to be here. If he really wants to be here, then even if the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Angels or somebody offer him, you know, $10, $20, $30 million more than the Nats offer, although the Nats should be able to offer just as much, he'll stay. But if he just if Boris is pushing him to just take the most money, or if he doesn't really care where he plays, or he wants to go back out to the West Coast, then he won't be here. It's pretty simple, and of course it'll be something everybody discusses until he makes a decision.
John, real quick before we let you go, I just wanted to get your thoughts. You know, you and I spoke briefly on an email after the Serena debacle against Osaka.
Right, right. Yes, you were going to ask me what's bothering me in sports.
Well,
and that was
you and I were. I think you and I were on the same page there. I just want to give the listeners your opinion of what happened.
Well, I'll try to make it as short as I can because it is complicated. But first of all, the coaching rule should have been taken away 30 years ago.
Yes,
it's a ridiculous, stupid rule.
Great.
And because the leadership in tennis is so messed up, they haven't fixed it. And the fact that you had three different reactions, the ITF comes out and says, oh, the umpire was right. The Women's Tennis Association says it's sexism. And Katrina Adams, the president of USTA, said nothing. She just said Serena's an inspiration to us all without even, you know, making any comment in her statement about what happened. Nobody was right in this except for Osaka, who was the victim, because she played brilliantly. And that's why Serena melted down. She was getting her butt kicked. And Mouratoglou was trying to signal her. Doesn't matter, by the way, by rule, whether she sees the signals or accepts the signals. It's like in golf. The player's responsible for his caddy. In tennis, the player's responsible for his or her coach. So he was signaling. He said he was signaling. The umpire wasn't wrong to give her a warning.
Right.
Then she smashes her racket. That's no discretion. That's automatic.
Yeah, she knows
now,
that.
The controversy is really over her yelling, calling him a thief and a liar, and him penalizing her a game. Penalizing, actually. I looked that up. It's penalizing. she lost her cool, and he lost his cool. He should have turned off the microphone, leaned down to her, and said, "Miss Williams, I've heard what you had to say. This is over. Let's not make it worse than it is. Please go back and play." And if she doesn't respond to that, then he's entitled to give her a game penalty. But umpires shouldn't lose their cool that way. He lost his temper. She lost her temper. And it was wrong. Is there a double standard between men and women in sports? Absolutely, yeah. There is. But that doesn't mean – Martina Navratilova wrote a brilliant New York Times op-ed on this, in which she said – just because there are different standards for men and women doesn't mean women should demand to have the standards lower for them.
Right.
Everybody else's standards should have to come up.
Right.
And that's exactly right. Serena was wrong. The umpire was wrong in terms of that argument specifically. And it's a shame that it happened that way, because nobody's talking about what Naomi Osaka did coming out of nowhere to win the U.S. Open and become the first Japanese player to win a major.
Yeah, she was great. I just felt horrible for her.
John, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and I will say this. Afterwards, Serena was great. She handled it great. She comforted her. She asked the crowd to quit booing. The crowd was out of control. What a shock in New York.
After she sparked it all. But
what happened during the match was just embarrassing for tennis. And it all goes back again to the fact that the leadership in the sport can't just get its act together and say, well, every other sport has coaching.
Yeah.
You know,
I know, every other one.
Coach on the golf course.
Is there any talk of changing that now after this controversy?
There's always talk of it. You know, Chris Evert's been tweeting, they should change the rule. I wrote about this in Hard Courts 27 years ago.
Great book, by the way. Love that
book. Thank you. And can we just make a quick mention of The Prodigy, which is getting great reviews?
There yes, you can. You just did.
You just did. Right?
I just did.
Nice job.
I guess I can.
All right. Thank you, John.
Enjoy the hockey. I love Alan May. I'm glad you guys had him on.
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
He's always the best.
Thank you, buddy.
That's John Feinstein, best-selling author. Go out and get the book, The Prodigy, and then the quarterback book is coming out next.
Yeah, in a couple months.
The Prodigy you can get right now on a Redskins Friday on the Sports Junkies, presented by the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, coming up at 8:40, our Redskins insider Chris Russell. And then Devontae Smith-Pelly from the Capitals joins us right here at MedStar Capital's Iceplex, where we're broadcasting live. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from the MedStar Capitals Iceplex on a Redskins Friday, presented by the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. In just a few, we'll go through the top five NFL matchups and get back into Redskins Colts, but I believe there is a bet brewing.
Oh, it's about to be consummated.
Big bet, or is this just a $5?
No, it's your standard bet. $5 junkies bet. Oh, actually, okay. That's a high bet, because the standard bet on the show is like $1 or $2.
Yeah, but you're feeling super confident. Is this the Redskins bet?
Yeah, it's a skins bet. I'm feeling very sassy about this bet. I'm very confident.
You're betting more fading Lurch.
That's true, but it's okay.
All right.
This is like a nickel play.
He doesn't
usually
like to flaunt that like you do.
Hey, regardless of what Jason picks for Bish's best bet coming up at 9:45, are you going to fade him today?
You should.
Yeah, it's a
no matter what.
Well, the only way you can
you
worth
have to
fading,
until,
you have to do
anything
it.
He
until
picks.
I get hot, if it happens,
but
you
literally,
have to keep doing
now,
it.
But listen, let me just pull back the curtain one second.
Yeah.
I like to needle Jason, but I would literally fade anyone on the planet.
And also, we have
anyone.
There are safeguards. Each of us, now this is pulling back the curtain even more, each one of us, I believe, has an individual
stop loss
of, I think, 200 per man.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
So if you get on an extreme heater.
What was the number from yesterday? What'd you guys put up yesterday?
$12.50 per each bet.
Yeah, we're betting $50 against
Chop. Oh, okay, gotcha.
So we had 150.
So you're splitting the 50.
Yes. Right. It's a four-way chop. right. every time.
JP's not in it?
I'm not
He's
in
not in
it. Which is not a gamble.
He's not. All right. So let me.
Skins.
I'm going
like
to finalize my bet. I'm going to tease it. I'm going to take the Skins down just to win at
it's
home.
It's a pick, right?
Okay.
Right.
Then I'm going to take the total and bring it down. And, of course, I'm going to fly over the total.
Sorry. So, just
so this is where you're screwing yourself. You're getting all complicated.
Yeah, of course. But I think the Skins punish the Colts. There's no way the Colts stop the Redskins running game. I'm seeing like a – in my crystal ball, I see like a 31-14, 31-17 convincing Redskins win.
Right, so
AP goes well over 100 yards.
Nice.
And scores again.
All right, so with that said –
So Cakes, I just texted you the numbers.
Cakes is setting the scene. He believes Redskins win handily.
Oh,
let's
and by
open
the way,
it up to callers.
A DFS nugget, play the Redskins defense this weekend.
Yes.
That's my sage advice for you.
Let's open it up to callers, 800-636-1067. Do you agree with Cakes that the Redskins win handily in the home opener?
Team Cakes.
At FedEx, they crush the Colts. Or do you bet against Cakes? 800-636-1067.
This is what your boy's going to do the Colts.
I hope you're right.
Little some of that. They're going to do all that
we'll
to
see.
The Colts.
We'll
they're going to punish them.
You don't think Andrew Luck's going to be able to move the ball down the field?
He's going to throw it a ton. He's going to throw 45 times for like 280 yards, and they'll have no ground attack. He'll throw a pick six, or he'll fumble the ball. Skins run it back for a touchdown.
You realize even
convincing
they,
win. I'm not even sweating
even
it.
Even though they lost in week one, I think they still had the ball for 32 minutes.
That's fine.
They did.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sweating
it's
it.
It's not
going to
be the same.
And they were, I'm telling you, they were towards the end of actually a game-winning drive. They had moved the ball like 50, 60 yards.
They were down four.
And Doyle fumbles on the 15,
and
he gets returned all the way.
When you get home and when you've DVR'd the game,
mm-hmm.
I'll be sitting at home just laughing
counting
at the fact that,
that you won $5?
Yeah, I'll just be laughing.
All right, we'll see.
I won't even sweat it.
I mean, based on your logic.
Because the Skins are going to be up like 28-10.
Right.
Late in the third quarter, then they salted away with a garbage touchdown. Maybe the Colts come back and make it like 31-17, something like
so
that.
So you would have set the
never
line.
In doubt.
You would have set the line at the Skins minus 13, but it's only 6.
Well, that's very aggressive. Maybe 9.5 or 10.
So you think it should be a 9.5 or 10 number?
Ooh, right. Probably.
It's going to be a pummeling. All right,
it's
800.
The biggest winner on the board, EB.
800.
It's in your survivor pick, right?
1067 is the number.
Yep.
We want to hear from Redskins fans. Do you agree with Cakes, or are you going to bet against Cakes? 800-636-1067. Real quick. Valdez, can you give me some NFL music? We'll go through the top five matchups this weekend. And it's interesting, if the Redskins do what Cakes is saying, they'd be at 2-0. And all of a sudden, you'd look at the division. There's going to be a team that's going to fall to 0-2 in the division.
Absolutely.
The Cowboys are Giants, and we know 0-2 means you're pretty much out of the playoff hunt. The Cowboys host the Giants. What's your vibe there, Mr. Prognosticator?
Cowboys host the Giants. I think
Cowboys didn't put up a ton of points last week. They really don't have any weapons on the outside. It's Zeke or bust.
Giants underdogs,
they have
by the
more
way.
Skill with Beckham and Barkley. I like the Giants to win on the road. I like the Giants in a slight upset.
Kind of like the Giants, too.
I do as well.
Odell had 11 catches in the opener.
I think the Cowboys are really going to struggle to score consistently this year.
I mean, Allen
with
Hurns
really no outside
threats. Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley are your best receivers.
Yeah. Beasley's like the Ryan Grant for them. You know, he's the guy that Dak looks to.
All right, you want to bang on a couple of these calls?
Here we
go. Let's go to Dave in DC on line one. Dave, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what up, Junks?
Hey,
what's
Daddy?
Going on, Dave?
How are you?
Hey, so. I don't think the Skins will lose, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Right.
Like, this could easily be a setup game where if we can beat the Colts, then we know they're for real. But if they struggle winning 17-10, then, you know, I just don't see a blowout. I don't see us taking over the whole game like that.
Right. I'm kind of with you. The only thing I would say differently, though, is I think that we should beat the Colts. So I think if we do beat them, I still don't think you know that much about them. I think the litmus test – if they're good or not is how they perform against the Packers in week three, provided that Aaron Rodgers is there.
I think you may know a little bit more about the defense.
Maybe. But
you have another performance like that against Arizona, even though they're not the best teams in the league, you're going to say, you know what, this defense is much improved.
Yeah, and then if Peterson can
I think
do what he
improved.
Did in game one, where he just controls the ground game and
right.
opens up everything for Alex Smith, especially to Reed and Thompson. Yeah, it could be a long day for the Colts. But, look, Luck is going to score. He's going to score. That's
what he
does. He's
going to move the chains. They're going to have first downs. They're going to sustain some drives.
I do like the over part of that. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think the Skins
what's the
probably
total?
Doing. It's 47.5. So he's going to drop it down to 41.5.
All right.
I think there'll be some points scored in that game.
Right.
Number four matchup, 1 o'clock on Sunday, AFC battle between the Chiefs and the Steelers. Steelers at home in this game. Big Ben banged up, not practicing fully for the Steelers, but you'd expect him to be there. The Chiefs, of course, coming off that impressive week one where Tyreek Hill found the end zone not once, not twice, but three times. And they were looking super explosive. Pat Mahomes had four touchdown passes in the game. I think you'll find out if he's legit. I mean, one game in.
It's a big stage going into Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's going to be pissed after what happened last week.
Yeah, so they're going to be salty.
But Connor had a great game in week one. 135
yards. So much usage, so many carries for him.
Yeah. I think he is legit. I'm willing to say he's legit.
Yeah, I mean, he was legit in college.
And I think Antonio Brown was targeted 15 or 16 times in that game. I would expect more of the same against a very suspect Kansas City defense.
But Mahomes likes to do this.
He likes to sling it. Downfield.
He likes to go downfield,
yep.
And you'll probably see
a lot
of that.
He's got the arm to do it, no doubt.
All right, let's go to line two. Let's go to our guy Mo from Largo. Mo, what's up, buddy? You're on the Junks.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Mo.
Mo,
good morning. Are you betting
on cakes or against cakes?
See, this is the problem. I feel the same way that he does, but he's going to jinx us.
You're right. So, I'm the ultimate mush. I'm a cooler.
Because he's cakes. It's almost guaranteed.
Right. Hey, Lurch.
Yeah, man.
Got another one for you. I gave you that winner last week.
You gave me what? Did you give me App State?
Week was Appalachian State.
Yep.
And this week, Miami over Toledo. They're minus 10.5. They'll roll them.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere else. Yeah, they should. I mean, they're going to be much more athletic than Toledo, and they just didn't look good in week one. So I would expect you to be right on that one. Yes.
Is this the U or Miami of Ohio?
No, this is to be the U.
The U.
Yeah.
I'll hit y'all later. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Mo. Appreciate it.
Mo actually agrees with cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mo.
Except
he's my guy.
He knows you.
Cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you feel the same way.
I almost want to change my
pick. There's reason to hesitate. I understand it. I get it.
Yeah.
All right, number three matchup this weekend, Pitts, the Carolina Panthers, who got off to a nice start, and the Falcons, who are 0-1. Falcons at home, look, they lost that opening game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, you can't afford to drop to 0-2. A lot of people have the Falcons as a potential Super Bowl team. Of course, they were in the Super Bowl a couple seasons ago. Matt Ryan didn't have necessarily an impressive game, didn't look particularly great in week one against the Eagles. I think he bounces back in this
huge game because the following week they play the Saints. So you don't want to be 0-2, and then you have the Saints if you are 0-2. Now it's a home game, but this is a big one for Atlanta. And Carolina didn't look very good offensively.
And Newton struggles at Atlanta historically, and he'll be out without one of his top weapons in Greg Olsen. That just means more for Christian McCaffrey, more balls to go to guys like Devin Funchess.
But you do like Atlanta.
I'll give a slight lean to Atlanta.
Atlanta, 6-point favorite in this game.
Number two matchup this weekend, 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Packers host the Vikings. Both teams get wins in their opener. Of course, the Packers had the ridiculous come-from-behind victory led by Aaron Rodgers, throwing for over 200 yards and three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. The Vikings were just solid in week one. Kirk Cousins, two touchdown passes, was efficient.
Question is Rodgers play? If Rodgers doesn't play, they got no shot.
I think the tell was when the coach said it wasn't a layup.
Yeah.
It leads me to believe that he's going to play. He's just trying to emphasize that, you know, it's a difficult road and, you know, it's going to be tough. But I think he's going to play.
Yeah, but
I really do.
I think it might also be in the back of Aaron Rodgers' mind that he got knocked out against the Vikings last year.
So, but he's not scared.
He's not scared, but like if he's not 100%, maybe he just...
They're going to come after him, though. They will come after
him. He's not going to be 100%. He's not, dude, he's a gamer. He'll go out. He doesn't care.
They're going to have to adjust the game plan. He's going to have to get the ball out quick because he's not going to be able to run outside the pocket.
But the diagnosis was just sprained knee, nothing torn.
It's just stiff.
Our sources were incorrect.
Yeah.
Our Twitter source was 7 followers.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but I think actually a sprain does mean a slight tear.
Yeah. And last game to mention, number one matchup this weekend.
Big.
AFC Championship rematch. The Jags at home. It's a pick 'em against the New England Patriots. Tom Brady throws three touchdown passes in the opener. Doesn't matter if he's 40, 41, 42. The guy still gets it done. And he's somebody who also, you know, this week I've never seen more analysis of quarterbacks throwing to their receivers. We talked about it with Alex Smith. Didn't really connect much with his receivers. Seen it other games, Brady didn't connect with his receivers very much.
No.
It's Burkhead,
Gronk.
It's Gronk, it's, you know, all the guys out of the backfield.
Philip Dorsett, I believe,
hit
had
Dorsett,
six or seven catches.
And he hit him for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Ramsey, of course, talking smack about Gronk, says Gronk is good, but he's not great. and he may be covering him in certain situations. So that'll be interesting. Is Vegas begging you to take New England minus the one, or are they begging you to take Jacksonville plus the one? I just don't know. Is it that much of a toss-up? I guess it is.
So that's our top five
Who do you
NFL
think wins?
Matchups.
New England, Jacksonville.
I like the Jags at home.
New England will have a couple hiccups early in the season, and then at the end of the year, they'll be 12-4 or 13-3.
I think so.
That's usually what happens.
This will be tough. This will be a tough place to play.
All right, that's the top five NFL matchups on a Redskins Friday on the Junkies, presented by the one and only Sportsbook Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Remember, we've got Devontae Smith-Pelly from the Capitals joining us right here at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. But next, it's Redskins insider Chris Russell as we broadcast live from the MedStar Capitals Iceplex.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex. On a football Friday, it's actually a Redskins Friday, presented by the one and only Sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. And joining us right now, Redskins insider Chris Russell.
Clap him up.
Who also does a lot of work with the Washington Capitals. That's why you're here.
Yes. Good morning, boys.
What's your role today? Are you interviewing some boys today?
So they're going to make all the players available, I guess, in three different groups, starting at, I believe, 12:15, 12:30, after they get done with you guys. I know you guys have Devontae Smith-Pelly coming up, and great interview with Al May and all that stuff, and the head coach and general manager, the new head coach, Todd Reirden, who we got to know a little bit, you know, when he was officially named the coach to replace Barry Trotz, which still sounds weird, right? You win a Stanley Cup,
right?
And the head coach didn't retire.
Right.
He went to a division rival, and he's not here.
Right.
Weird, right?
Well, they're paying him double. Yeah. You know what? called the Rooster and said, we'll pay you double. You wouldn't be sitting here tomorrow.
The Rooster would be gone.
Rooster flies the coop.
That one's happened, boys. Yeah.
Yeah. Flies the coop. I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Can't blame him.
My comedy writer gave me that.
Right. It once happened. I'm just.
Yeah, that's true. It happened.
Just going to leave that.
No, but it is strange that a coach of a champion is not here the following year.
Yeah, and with the division.
Happen very often.
And with a division rival. I know that, you know, the Islanders aren't supposed to be anything that big this year because no John Tavares. They got a really good farm system. But Barry Trotz, Lane Lambert, top assistant. Well, Todd Reirden was the top assistant, and he's now the head coach here. Mm-hmm. But Lane Lambert, one of his top assistants, and Barry Trotz win a cup, and boom, not only not here, but with a division rival with no compensation, right. No draft pick, no nothing.
Chris, we had Alan May on. I think you might have heard some of it when you're driving in. Yep. And it's funny, we were talking about it, sort of like the power rankings and where the Caps are sort of in all of this coming back this year. And I was surprised that Alan just had him as like top 10. I would think we would be like top three or four. Are we seen sort of as a fluke nationally? Is the team that just got hot sort of at the right time?
I think that's the perception. I think it's ridiculous. But I think people are going to look at, okay, they struggled so long to get over the top of that mountain. Why did they get it through? Was it just Pittsburgh was exhausted from playing so many games? You know, they just weren't the same. Some injuries to Malkin earlier in that series. He really wasn't Malkin. And then Tampa is not considered, again, a great team. And then Vegas was an expansion team. So I think teams look at the improvements that others made in the Eastern Conference, and that's all fair. And that's why they backed them off. I think it's crap just from the standpoint of, and Alan brought this up, and I was going to, you know, I was kind of in my mind thinking, what might they ask me about the Capitals? Jacob Verana is going to be, I think, one of those stud-type guys like Kuznetsov, how he took off after the contract extension last year. And he was good before then, but then he really kind of elevated into his own. Guys like that are going to make the difference on this team. Burakovsky, the kind of performance he put together, not only in Game 7 of the Eastern Finals, but throughout the Stanley Cup Final. after some moments of inconsistency, that guy, Tom Wilson, who, again, they chose, identified, and paid. I think those are the reasons why this Capitals team, I'm not saying they're going to be lights out right away. I think they're going to struggle the first month or two. It's just natural. They always do it anyway. Why wouldn't they do it this year after drinking a lot of beer, a lot of vodka, and eating caviar out of the damn Stanley Cup, right? They're going to struggle. But once they get in gear, December, January, I think this is a definite, definite top five
team. By the way,
if not top three.
Jason has kind of a man crush on Verana. I saw
love Verana.
A picture
yeah,
of
my boy.
Him. I saw a picture
he's
of him
dreamy.
A couple weeks ago. I think he got yoked this summer.
Well, did he?
I think Burakovsky yeah. also got big and swole during the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad if you win a cup, right, and get to do all the fun things and you get pumped up. I mean, that's not bad. I'll be interested to see what these guys look like. Again, long way to go. I'll be interested to see what they look like the first month, especially in those back-to-backers, the open.
I wish I looked like any of them after a three-week bender.
Yeah.
I still look way worse.
I wonder how their bodies are going to respond, too. I mean, they have had 2.5 months off, but you know they've got to start working out pretty soon after the season ends.
Yeah.
So I wonder how the bodies respond.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. The back-to-backers to open up the year, Boston at home to raise the, you know, the banner, and then next night right away in Pittsburgh. But then they have like 5 or 6 days off before the Vegas Golden Knights come to Washington for a rematch of the Stanley Cup Final, national TV, all that deal. But they have that practice, you know, so at least they have some, after that initial back-to-back, they have some transition time. The schedule is not incredibly taxing. But, again, they're always a slow-starting team,
at least
under Trotz, always, no matter what they did in the previous play. So I would expect nothing more, especially after the Stanley
Chris,
Cup.
Chris, can you show our audience your notes? I mean, love this.
Seriously,
look at this. This is real show prep. We used to do that.
Mitchie's going to get.
Well, he does that during the game.
Or now, is this.
Well, no, that's just skin,
is this?
That's skin stuff.
This is all
during the game.
All Redskin stuff from the first half because, you know,
all right,
what happens is the game goes so fast, right? You can't chart everything. So I'm charting what the hell they're doing under center, one back, single back, two back, whatever, different formations, three tight ends, all that. So just because, especially because it's a new quarterback and it's a new running back and it's kind of an, I don't want to say it's a new system, but they're doing a lot of different things.
You know who else had notes like this?
Stuff. Yeah.
Kevin Spacey in 7.
I thought you were going to go with the domestic terrorist.
Ted Kaczynski?
Right, that's what I thought you were going to go with.
He had a manifesto that was probably pretty similar.
Listen, I've been accused of being a little wacky.
Chris, we need to bust your chops a little bit because...
Uh-oh.
I remember
that,
a few
that
weeks
never
ago.
Happens on this radio station, JV.
It doesn't come as much from us.
No, you guys are good to me. Although I did get a text from somebody last week. Why are the junkies bashing on you? Why are they? I'm like,
what did we say?
I don't know.
I don't think we were bashing on you.
And
it might have been this comment because I want to bring it up. So I listened to you during the preseason, and you were basically setting it up. You were setting it up so that you would be able to say, "I told you so." That they didn't play enough in the preseason. That Chris Thompson, Jordan Reed, Trent Williams
it really worked out for you.
There, that Alex Smith didn't get interrupted. So you did this whole thing. I listened to it. I was really entertained.
You were
it
waiting
was great.
For the swoon. Weren't you?
You were just talking about it, and you were just saying, "Look, I'm not going to say like I told this. You so now, but just wait. I'm going to have this ready
right,
to go
wait until they're flat in game one."
You guys love gambling, right?
Yeah. Certainly.
If I was 100% right all the time, no offense to you. I love you guys. You guys are icons. I damn sure wouldn't be here. My ass would be living in Vegas.
Well, us
making
too.
A lot of money. Okay,
us
if I was
too.
Right 100%.
It's hard to predict the future.
I'll admit, and this is for
Mr.
all the
one
people
and seven.
That
right.
get me trouble. Yeah, your best
That's
bet.
What you're trying to do.
I mean, we're going to get some the brilliant minds get some things wrong, right?
Exactly. That's the way I look at it.
Every once in a while, you're going to throw a stinker. So I was completely dead wrong.
Has it changed your perception for the future,
yeah.
or do you think it was a fluke that they played so well?
No, I was...
Next year, when the starters played less than they did this year.
Oh, my God.
Are you going to lose your mind?
They can't play any.
There's
less. These guys have 6 months
yeah, but you know what? The Cardinals didn't play their guys either.
I know.
There's no reason to play any of them anymore. There's no reason to particularly... Chris Thompson should never, ever play in the preseason.
So here's what...
Jordan Reed.
Here's what a longtime NFL executive told me. He goes, really, the first 2-3 games of the NFL regular season
is
essentially like the preseason for the vets. Not that they don't care. Not that they don't want to win. I don't want to create that perception, but that's what they basically use it for. And the last 12, 13 games is really the meat, if you will, of what these coaches are shooting for. Now, if you get a great performance in week one, like the Redskins and Jay Gruden did, Club J is going to return and return with a fever next year. I mean, you might as well not even go to Richmond, for God's sakes. I mean, NBC Sports Washington, don't even send the truck.
They don't even send the Richmond.
Well, training camp is not going to mean anything. I mean, they're going to be running around in underwear. I mean, for God's sakes.
Mitch wants to go to Richmond. Are you kidding me? In the dead of summer.
Everybody talks about
that argument.
That
argument that you use for the Skins, now it didn't work out because they looked like they played a bunch in the preseason.
Right.
A lot of the teams that looked like but didn't play in the preseason.
Well, you
Detroit looked awful.
Yes.
Arizona looked awful. San Francisco struggled a bunch.
Yeah, but the Rams looked great. The Rams didn't play any of their guys.
The Rams struggled in the first half, though. The Bears looked great in the first half. They didn't play a lot, and they had an extra preseason game. They hardly played at all, even with a rookie head coach. And then they were horrible in the second half.
I agree with you that I heard, I can't remember which player it was, but I did hear one player say that he was gassed in the second half because he didn't play at all in the preseason.
And that was kind of my point. And then the cohesion and rhythm with Alex Smith, a new quarterback. I just looked at it like this. First of all, I thought Arizona's defense was awful on Sunday. I thought they would be a lot better. They were top 10 defense last year. That was an 8-8 team without David Johnson
with Gabbard
for 15 weeks.
Gabbard,
who was their third quarterback. Right. Remember, they lost Stanton and they lost whoever the
starter. But you know what? They probably had a better
Carson
coach.
Carson Palmer.
Probably had a better coach.
Part of the reason that their defense was so bad is because Trent Williams in particular had such a great game. He was phenomenal.
I mean, Trent is so good. But it's not only Trent. That offensive line, especially run blocking wise, when LaVau is healthy, I think this is such a better offensive line from a run perspective. I always say this, they can play that power game. Week two last year against the Rams, last week against the Cardinals, weeks one and two in 2015 against Miami and then St. Louis when they ran the ball down. That's what this offense wants to do. And for everybody that yells at me about how it's a passing league, 70% Brendan Nars firing off tweets and all this analytic nonsense, you got to run the football in order to win. Because if you can't run the football, you can't do play action as effectively, you can't rest your damn defense, and you ask your defense to be out there 30 minutes a game, guess what? As injuries pile up, you're going to be...
So do you see a similar game plan this week? They ran the ball on first and second down all the time with Adrian Peterson. That was not something they were particularly successful at in previous years.
No. Rooster, are you team Cakes? It's going to be a blowout. I'm foreseeing a 31-17 laugher for the Redskins.
I am definitely team Cakes because I predict a 31-14.
You don't think Luck can keep this close?
I do.
I think he'll keep it close for a little while. I think that offensive line stinks. I don't think they have a running game. I think they have some decent receivers in T.Y. Hilton and old Brian Grant and Eric Ebron.
Their secondary is very good.
Their secondary, their defense outside of one guy, Jabal Sheard, left defensive end stinks. So bottom line, I would be disappointed if the Redskins don't score at least 28 points. But back to the first down, last 4 years under Gruden, right? 3.56 yards per attempt rushing on first down. That's like almost 1,000 rushes. Third worst in the NFL, only the Chargers and the Lions worse. Last week, 24 rushes outside of the kneel down at the end, 24 for 125 on first down, an average of 5.2.
That sounds very analytical to me. You were just eschewing analytics three minutes ago.
I'm just giving facts that matter to the Rooster, okay? That's all. Right. Analytics matter when they back up.
If they do that again on Sunday, they're going to boat race.
Exactly. So I'd be very disappointed. Now, they play better with their hair on fire and when they're kicked in the you-know-where, okay, like they were all preseason, and part of that was me, I admit. They play better when they're not complacent, so that's the only thing that I really worry about is complacency and kind of that, hey, we're better than we actually are.
I think we saw a little of that in the preseason. They even talked about it. In the third preseason game, they said, remember, defensively, it was a dud. And they said, we didn't practice that well. We got a little full of ourselves.
Yeah.
So that definitely could happen.
Absolutely.
In week two.
And it's happened repeatedly over the Jay Gruden era. Repeatedly.
Club
so that's
J.
the one thing I would. Yeah, Club J. That wasn't just the DJ. That was. I have my weird little Russellism, so sorry.
Good job, buddy.
Thank
Chris
you,
Russell. He's going to be
Chris.
Interviewing a bunch of the Capitals, which you can listen to on 106 Rooster Fan.
That's
Chris Russell, our Redskins.
Hope your hands are clean.
Coming up next.
I washed them with soap 25 times a game.
All right, good.
Devontae Smith-Pelly from the Washington Capitals joins us next as we broadcast live from the MedStar Capitals Iceplex.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.